What is up, Yankee fans? My name is Ryan Garcia, and this is Fireside Yankees. I'm joined with Alex Wilson. The Yankees have a lot of names being linked to them in the last 24 hours on both the trade and free agent market. A pair of starters, a pair of relievers, and a utility man who I know Alex is a big fan of. We're going to talk about all of that and more right here on Fireside Yankees. If you like this video, make sure you like, subscribe, turn on that notification bell. And if you're listening to this on your phone or a mobile device, use the Hype Points feature. You can use it there, and it helps us in the algorithm. We greatly appreciate your support, and without further ado, let's just jump right into this. Alex, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing really good, man. This is an exciting time for the Yankees. The winter meetings, obviously, we're getting lots of different rumors and speculation, and it does seem to me, though, that the Yankees are looking to make trades and not necessarily overspend in free agency. You know, we hear the Cody Bellinger talk, we hear the Kyle Tucker talk, which, by the way, after the reports I'm seeing about Kyle Tucker and how the Yankees don't think he's a great fit, like, characteristically in the clubhouse, I'm less convinced than ever they're going to make a push for him. We'll see what happens, but it doesn't even look like they want to pay up for Bellinger. It does seem to me they don't want to make any big expenditures. Look, I could be proven wrong, until after the CBA in 2027 is solved. So I don't think they want to add any other big-time contracts to the mix right now. They could. We'll see what happens. The trades are very interesting. We're going to talk about a lot of different rumors that are dropping right now about pitchers and obviously the utility man that I am so in love with, and you guys know exactly who that is. So I'll let you kind of take it away. What's the first pitcher that stands out as a possible opportunity to acquire?
Yeah, let's look at the starting rotation, and probably the biggest rumor, or you could argue the biggest rumor, that dropped last night was the Yankees and Nationals held trade conversations in recent days regarding left-handed starting pitcher Mackenzie Gore. Alex, I can independently kind of verify that is the case. The Yankees are in on Mackenzie Gore. I reported on EmpireSportsMedia.com last night. Yankees were also interested in reliever Jose Ferreira, who was eventually traded for catching prospect Harry Ford by the Mariners. So Yankees and Nationals have had dialogue. It's a new front office. The Yankees want to improve their rotation, as you alluded to. If they can avoid a bidding war, I think that they would like to do that. That's kind of what Andy Martino talked about as well with Cody Bellinger. And, it's not that the Yankees are out on Tatsuya Imai. It's not that they have no interest in Tatsuya Imai. But if a trade for Mackenzie Gore materializes, I'm sure they'll strike on that and land somebody instead of kind of waiting out the Boris game, which had proved pretty poor for them last year, where they ended up whiffing on Willie Adames and Blake Snell, both players who the Yankees really, really wanted to add this offseason. Now, with Mackenzie Gore, it's very easy to look at the ERA, 4.17, the whip, 1.35, and go, yeah, this guy isn't good. This guy is not a guy the Yankees should be adding to their rotation. But when you look at the underlying numbers, this is a pitcher who has serious upside. He was in the 80th percentile in both strikeout rate and whiff rate. He struggles with avoiding batted ball contact or hard batted ball contact, but it's very much a profile that has upside. He missed a ton of bats on his secondary pitches. He might be throwing the four-seamer too much. He's coming from an organization where he spent the entirety of it under Mike Rizzo, essentially, and that was a GM who did a really poor job of building infrastructure. The infrastructure in that organization was so poor that you look at a guy like Kyle Finnegan, who ended up on the Tigers. The Tigers just changed how much he was using his splitter and limited his four-seam usage, and he ended up being a lot better, missing a ton of bats. The Nationals have been behind the eight ball on pitching development. The Yankees are ahead of the eight ball. The Yankees are at the forefront of pitching innovation. Despite what fans think, they are very highly regarded in the industry in terms of pitching development. They brought back Desi Drusil from the Mets, who's like a pitch design god, essentially. Mackenzie Gore is the kind of guy who I look at and I say, all right, good stuff. Probably throws a fastball too much. Left-handed, doesn't move the ball well laterally or has struggled to do that in his career. So that's east-west. This reminds me a lot of Carlos Rodon. And Alex, if you remember with Carlos Rodon, he lost his fastball with the Yankees. The fastball stopped being a dominant pitch. He had to evolve and learn how to move the pitches east and west. Added a sinker, really souped up the changeup. I think Gore can undergo similar changes. But Alex, when you look at Mackenzie Gore, the resume, obviously it's not a great resume, but how do you feel about the Yankees making an upside play for Mackenzie Gore?
I mean, it's interesting, right? Because you're adding another lefty to this rotation. You know, you have Fried, you have Rodon, you have Gore, theoretically, if they were to acquire him. And look, this is a really talented pitcher, right? He's above average in chases, above average in whiffs, above average in Ks. And like you said, the Nationals traditionally aren't known for their pitching development. You give him to the magician, Matt Blake, and you just let him cook. You let him get after it. You know, you kind of talked about his pitch mix with the four-seam fastball, curveball, and slider and changeup. Those are the primary four. The primary two being the four-seam curveball, then obviously that slider. So, like, he has a very similar pitch mix to Carlos Rodon. The question is, do we need another Carlos Rodon? That's not the question. The answer is, well, how about a four-year younger version of Carlos Rodon, who's currently not even really in his prime, and there's upside left to kind of hit on there. How many years of control does Gore have still?
You would have two more years of Mackenzie Gore through his age 27 and 28 seasons.
Okay, so you're basically getting the next 2 years, which, you know, in theory is probably the last of the best to Aaron Judge, right? You're getting him to, like, really round out the premium years of Aaron Judge before the decline is inevitably going to happen. I think that that's a fine move, and it also allows you to weaponize your other arms as trade pieces. So, like you said, you're going to have to probably trade a Will Warren for a deal like this to get Gore plus some. But does that what's the trade package? Like, what do you think is a realistic package for Gore? Because, listen, we're talking about Brad Keller, we're talking about Trevor McGill, we're talking about Mackenzie Gore, like, and Brendan Donovan. How many guys can the Yankees possibly trade before they just shred the whole farm? It's going to cost a pretty penny to get Gore.
Yeah, so kind of, and we're going to get into this as we talk about other players as well. I don't anticipate that the Yankees are going to pull off a big blockbuster trade and then follow it up with another big blockbuster trade. I would view as someone like Will Warren as probably their best trade chip as a major league ready, young, controllable starting pitcher. This is the kind of asset on the market, and asset is a little bit like it's a little dehumanizing, but you kind of get what I'm saying. He's one of the more valuable pieces the Yankees have inside the organization. I would say more so than Jason Dominguez. I would say more so than even like a Ben Hess. You could argue he's more valuable than Elmer Rodriguez Cruz or Carlos LaGrange simply because of the fact that he's in the big leagues and he's proven to be a big league starting pitcher. Now, again, that's going to depend on organization. Some organizations will go, no, I want someone whose clock hasn't started yet. I don't want Will Warren. I'm only going to have him for 5 years versus LaGrange, where you got to keep him in your minor leagues. He's not Rule 5 eligible until next year. You do not have to start his clock until 2027, and by starting his clock, you can still keep him in AAA. You just can't have him off your 40-man roster. With Gore here, Alex, the thing that really entices me is, I'm not saying he's going to do this, Alex, but when you look at, like, these organizations that have had these really good, talented starting pitchers, but were behind the eight ball in pitching development, the organization that sticks, or the situation that sticks to mind to me here, or comes to mind to me here, is when the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2016, 2017 had a 25 and 26-year-old Gerrit Cole, and he produced a 4.12 ERA, and then proceeded to get traded to the Nationals and the little Astros, and proceeded to be an absolute monster. I decided to compare their two stats, and I'll have a graphic here on screen to kind of compare them here. Gore had a 4.03 ERA in his age 24 and 25 seasons with a 3.64 FIP. We have to adjust for league environment, so it's a 97 ERA minus and 89 FIP minus. So he was 3% better at preventing runs and 11% better in terms of his FIP. For Gerrit Cole, in his final 2 years with Pittsburgh, which again were his age 25 and 26 seasons, kind of a hilarious parallel here. He had a 4.13 ERA. He had or 1.2 ERA at 3.81 FIP. Similar ERA minus and FIP minus. So these guys are very similar at these points in their careers. Now, Gerrit Cole also threw about as hard, 96 miles per hour. I kind of forget that Cole added velocity as he got into his 30s. So, Alex, I'm just saying, you know, like, that this has happened before. We have seen this go down before. I'm not saying he's going to be Gerrit Cole, but the talent is definitely there. He just needs to work on adding the secondaries or improving the secondaries or mixing up the usage of the secondaries, whatever it may be. Again, the comparison I would use is more like 2024 Carlos Rodon to 2025 Carlos Rodon. That is kind of the comparison I would more comfortably use here. But again, this is a guy who I think has tons of upside. Alex, any final thoughts on Mackenzie Gore?
Listen, you want to capitalize on Aaron Judge's prime. You want to add another high-octane pitcher to that rotation. You go get Gore, and you have the best rotation in baseball, and it gives you a humongous amount of insurance if Gerrit Cole is off in his first year back from Tommy John surgery. You don't have Clark Schmidt. Rodon just had surgery. You know, what if Cam Schlittler has some sort of regret? You need to prepare. There's lots of what-ifs in that rotation. Lots. The only consistent piece that we know is going to be elite is Max Fried. Aside from that, I don't know what we're going to get. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. So they need another consistent arm there, and it doesn't seem like they want to pay for it. It seems like they want to trade for it. And they have a surplus of arms they can use as leverage. So I'm for Mackenzie Gore. I think that, you know, you can never go wrong with adding more starting pitching. I think that's something that you subscribe to as well. You can never have enough pitching. And listen, it takes a lot of pressure off your bullpen too. And it also allows you to maybe move one of those guys to the bullpen if you desperately need to. So, you know, I do think this is a reasonable avenue to attack. And you can wait until the deadline to address the bullpen if you really need to, which I imagine the Yankees usually try to add a couple arms to support the unit. And I think that this is a fine method of improving the roster. But I do think we do need a position player. So, you know, it does – getting Gore may compromise your ability to get Brendan Donovan or anybody else.
Yeah, it'll compromise your trade ability or your ability to make trades, sorry. And that's definitely a concern. You're kind of – it's the opportunity cost, right? We talk about opportunity cost pretty frequently here on this channel, what you cannot do because you did something else. That is an important part of any conversation here, Alex. Now, again, I don't think the Yankees would trade for Mackenzie Gore if they were sure that that would take them out of every single move in free agency. That would be weird to trade for a guy who's making $5 million and say, yep, now we can't sign Cody Bellinger. That would be really stupid. That would be really weird. But I do wonder, like, could you trade an outfielder in this deal? Probably could. Probably could trade a Spencer Jones. Probably could offer like a Spencer Jones and you know, Will Warren or an Elmer Rodriguez Cruz, whatever it may be. So we'll kind of see what ends up going on there. Alex, the next player or the starter that the Yankees were linked to was Freddy Peralta. I think I'll keep this one a little brief because there's not really like a. It wasn't a strong link. It wasn't a link followed by like a lot of buzz. The Yankees are really that in. Not saying they're not going to get him, but it still feels like, all right, is it a matter of will they or will they not trade him? For Gore, it feels like when they'll trade him. Freddy Peralta, probably the best pitcher individually we'll talk about on this list. He had a 2.70 ERA this past year, struck out 204 batters faced, 33 starts. I'd be all in on this, Alex. One-year deal, $8 million. It's only a $3 million increase in salary compared to Mackenzie Gore. But I think you and I would agree, this is going to cost a lot. If the Yankees want to do this, this would be a kind of a blockbuster deal.
Yeah, I mean, this is the deal that you use to pair David Bednar with like a genuinely another elite bullpen arm. This is a tremendous player. So you're looking at the 2.07 ERA. You said he has 1 year left on his deal.
Freddy Peralta, yes. Freddy Peralta has
Yes,
he has 1 year left in his. You might have been confusing with Miguel.
I was looking at Brad Keller for a second. Sorry. I have all these Savant pages open. I have like 15 Savant pages. I just clicked on the wrong one. Okay, so you know what? Freddy Peralta, 29 years old, you know, was really good last year. Listen, he's another guy. Whiffs, strikeouts, doesn't give up much hard hit contact, has tremendous off speed stuff. Really, I mean, solid fastball. Is a good player, man. Like, this is another guy that you're just... I mean, the Brewers got pitching. Like, they seem to just produce good pitchers. And I think that, you know, adding a starter is going to happen. It's just a matter of right-handed, left-handed, what type of quality, how many years of control. I do like Gore because of the 2 years of control, but Peralta's really freaking good, too. It's hard to decide, honestly. It really just depends on what the Yankees balance, what kind of balance they're looking for. Like, do they want more lefties? I don't really know. Like... If you had to choose, who outside of the actual cost, who would you pick?
Just as a pitcher, I'd pick Peralta. I think Peralta's a better starter. But it's all cost dependent, and there's also that feeling of like Mackenzie Gore is 2 years of control. Mackenzie Gore could be a star if you like transform into one. You wonder what you're gonna have to give up to get him. You're gonna wonder what like the Brewers have to be convinced to trade Peralta. That is often not a great sign for a team. Like that's not a good sign for the buyer. For the buyer, that means you've got to pay above what they perceive as his market value to get him. So, and you're competing against a compensation pick, which will likely be a first-round pick. So you've got to give up what essentially would be a top 40 prospect and in a draft class. And like that's what Dax Kilby was. That's what that's where like George Lombard Jr. was drafted. That's where like Ben Hess was drafted. So there's significant value in that player. You have to add that on top of something else for rental. You know, I do wonder kind of how the Yankees would match up. And I don't think the Yankees match up very well with the Brewers in a trade compared to the Nationals, who just kind of need anything. The Brewers have specific needs. I imagine that they would maybe want an outfielder, but that's still kind of muddy. They've got a really complete major league roster. And also, money matters to them. So you can't just send them arbitration players. You have to send them pre-arbitration players or prospects. They picked up Caleb Durbin last year. He was really productive. We'll kind of see what that would look like if Peralta were to get traded to the Yankees or just in general. Now, Alex, let's stay with the Milwaukee Brewers. Let's stay in Milwaukee for a second here because another trade candidate on this list and was linked to by Joel Sherman of The Athletic in the same article was Trevor McGill. Trevor McGill, I don't know if you've seen, Alex, his fastball. He throws 100 miles per hour. He sits 99 miles per hour. So when we talk about serious gas, this guy's got serious gas. He struck out 31.3% of batters faced this past year, a 2.49 ERA, 60 strikeouts and 47 innings pitched. Not a bad walk rate at all. Good extension on the fastball. He throws a curveball at 88 miles per hour. That's just stupid. This is a stupidly good, stupidly talented pitcher. Alex, he has 2 years of control. I think he's 31. He's 32. So you're probably getting him for his final years of his prime. Where would you be at in trading for Trevor McGill, who is a Brewer reliever? We've kind of gone down that road before. Do you feel like the Devin Williams thing scares you off, or you're like, nah, different person, different player, different situation?
Totally different person, totally different player. Look, Devin Williams is a really good pitcher. Like, let's not confuse ourselves. He was tremendous in the playoffs. Like, he was elite. The Yankees just weren't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was really good. So there's a reason the Mets got him. I think that the problem with the Yankees' strategy of acquiring players via trade is that not a lot of them actually want to be Yankees. You know what I mean? Like, Juan Soto didn't care. Juan Soto didn't give two craps about being a Yankee. Devin Williams didn't. I mean, you tell me, Ryan, do you think Devin Williams wanted to be a Yankee?
So I can say this confidently. I know that Chris Kirschner talked about this on a podcast recently, and, you know, I had heard this throughout the year, and I can pretty much verify he thought he was going to be a Dodger. He wanted to be a mm-hmm. Dodger. He was upset to not be a Dodger. He was not happy to be a Yankee instead of a Dodger. He did not want to be here, Alex. Did not want to be here.
And apparently neither does Sonny Gray. So it's like, you know, the reality is the Yankees' strategy of addressing weaknesses with trades has bitten them in the butt because some of these players just don't want to be Yankees, right? Like, Soto's tremendous. Like, you know, he's an elite player no matter what. He doesn't actually care where he is. He just wanted the dollar signs and, you know, whatever. The rest is history. Devin Williams did not want to be here. And the one guy who did and showed out because of it, Cody Bellinger. And I get why they want to bring back Bellinger because, okay, we made that trade and he actually loved being a freaking Yankee. So, like, that does matter. It does matter. That loyalty does matter. Now, I think he's going to go get the biggest payday because that's his prerogative and that's what free agents do. And I respect that entirely. But we need to make sure that players want to play here before we acquire them, Ryan. Enough of this, like, we're just going to get this guy and he's going to be great because his numbers say so. There is an element to baseball that the Yankees can, I think, miss. And look, I'm all about managing the analytics and utilizing it as a weapon to upgrade a team, upgrade a roster, improve your performance. But there's a human element to these players that aren't just numbers. And I think that the Yankees completely ignore the fact that some of these guys, yeah, Devin Williams is really, really freaking good, but he didn't want to pitch for the Yankees. And that reflected in his ERA. That reflected in his performance and his confidence. And we saw what happened because of that, right? Some guys just don't want to be Yankees, and their numbers reflect that. It's quite obvious. I would be willing to bet anything Devin Williams comes in with a less than a 2.5 ERA next year as a Met, because he wants to be a Met.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, the Yankees need to think the numbers, they work. They do make sense, but you got to make sure that player actually wants to be a Yankee before you go and actually depend on those numbers to be factual. They are missing an element to their evaluation. They need to make sure, and, like, this is a roundabout way to say, love Trevor McGill, freaking monster. Does he want to be a Yankee, though? That does make a difference to me.
Yeah, I remember he was the guy who, do you remember when the Brewers, when we played the Brewers at the start of the year and the Yankees, for a lack of better terms and part of my French here, proceeded to kick the ever-loving shit out of the Brewers for, mm-hmm. for three games, essentially?
Yeah.
Trevor McGill, like, kind of, I think he said publicly, it's the Yankees to get away with whatever in regards to the torpedo bats.
I don't know about that, man. That's a red flag to me.
That's a fair question. Like, does the guy want to be here? Now, in the case of McGill, you know, his brother, Tyler McGill, pitched in New York for the Mets. So I don't think he'd be completely foreign to the idea of New York just because his brother plays there. Or I don't know if he got Don tendered because of the injury, but I think he's still in the organization. But the stuff, I mean, the fit is, on paper, the fit makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Hard-throwing reliever, big fastball. Yankees need more velocity. We've talked about, like, the Yankees need to be better at having pitchers who can attack the zone with their fastball and not worry about what's going to happen with it because it's so dominant, or the shape is really good, whatever it may be. So I do believe that the Yankees will explore the reliever market, but perhaps another option. This is finally, we're trying to talk about free agency for a second here. Brad Keller. Brad Keller is a reliever on the Cubs. Now he's a free agent, technically. He was on the Cubs. Now, Brad Keller was basically like fodder. He was rotation fodder for his entire career. He had a couple of solid years, but very much like good ERA, bad underlying metric years. From 2018 to 2024, 4.34 ERA. He had 50 appearances out of the bullpen, wasn't particularly dominant, didn't miss bats, and then this past year, he starts throwing 97 miles per hour. He throws 3 miles per hour harder. Strikes out 27.2% of batters face, 2.07 ERA in 68 appearances. Some teams have interest in signing him as a starter. The Yankees are interested in signing him as a reliever. High ground ball rate, tons of velo, tons of elite level stuff. Alex, talk to me about Brad Keller. Do you think the Yankees should go pursue him in free agency?
I mean, yeah, he's also really freaking good. You know, you look at a guy that just doesn't give up hard contact, 99th percentile hard hit rate, 94th average exit velocity, 86th barrel percentage, 95th ground ball rate. Another guy that you're just like, okay, like he's going to put the ball on the ground. Guys aren't going to hit home runs off of him. And he is a hard throwing fastball type of pitcher as well. I would rather spend money than trade prospects because listen, I'll ask you this. If you could get Trevor Megill and Mackenzie Gore, it's going to cost you a lot, right? Like those two guys are going to cost you an arm and a leg. Would you rather do that, or would you rather get Mackenzie Gore and Brendan Donovan? And, you know, different probably prospect hauls, but let's say like you're going to have to give up a ton either way. Usually pitchers require a little bit of an extra premium. Would you rather trade for Mackenzie Gore? I mean, theoretically speaking, you could trade for Gore and Donovan and just sign Brad Keller and keep your costs low, theoretically, right? I mean, it's going to cost you a crap ton of prospects, but like that's the type of move you say, you make and you say, this team is good enough to win a chip. And we put our money where our mouth is, and we put the balls to the wall to win in Aaron Judge's prime. That is something I don't think you can regret. You know what I mean? I don't think you can regret that. The Yankees seem to rationalize regretting a lot. You know what I mean? We tried to do this. I'm like, you signed Marcus Stroman. Like, you set yourself up for that one. You know, you traded for this guy or that. You just set yourself up to be disappointed at times. You're not going to be disappointed with Mackenzie Gore. You know, most likely. You're not going to be disappointed with Brendan Donovan, and you're probably not going to be disappointed with Brad Keller. So, like, those moves make a lot of sense. If you just wanted to go all out, I don't think they're going to. Like, I think it's one of Gore or Brendan Donovan or one of Gore or Freddie Peralta. But I really like Brad Keller. I would personally rather just spend the money than trade prospects because we have a lot of really cool young prospects ready to make an impact, or their value is rising and not dropping. And I think that I'm not a big proponent of prospect hugging, Ryan. But there's guys here that their prospects rising. Like, they are about to hit that next level. They're about to take that big step. And that's going to give the Yankees even more leverage when they really want to make a deal. So I'd rather spend the money personally. That's just my prerogative, though.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And Alex, I want to kind of note a couple of things here. When it comes to, like, Cody Ballinger, we'll talk about Brendan Donovan, obviously, kind of break down those trade conversations a little bit more, those rumors. You want to sign Cody Ballinger to a reasonable contract. And I'm not saying that it's like a 4-year, 3-year deal. I think a 5-year deal is reasonable. You do not want to pay more than what you should for a guy who's been rejected by the market twice. And when he was 28 years old, he was coming off of a season where he had a 139 OPS plus, and he hit the market, and he couldn't do better than 3 years, $80 million. He has a 28-point drop in OPS plus. He hits the market again, or he hits the trade market this time. The Cubs want nothing to do with him. And no team beats an offer of, we'll take on all but $5 million of a deal that is 2 years, $52 million. Could be 1 year, $26 million. More likely that 1 year situation because of the fact that 1 year, $26 million, it's very hard to not beat that on the market, especially with him being projected to be like a 2.5 to 3 war player. All you have to do is give up Cody Poteet and eat some money. No team beat that. No team beat that mark, that number on the trade front. The Yankees got him for nothing. You mean to tell me that now in free agency he's 30, he's going to turn 31 next June. He's going to do better than he did when he was 28. He's going to do better than he did when he was 29, and by a significant margin, like by a point where teams are giving him money that he wasn't even projected to get when he hit the market in 2023. He was projected, I think, around like a 5-year, 6-year, $150 million deal, $160 million deal. Now it's going to be a 2 years older. He's going to get a 7-year, $200 million deal. Absolutely not. So, you know, that's all part of this. And if the Yankees don't want to go 7 years for Bellinger, Alex, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And that's where Brendan Donovan could be an interesting player. When it comes to kind of this all-time list back to Brad Keller, I think you either trade for or you sign a reliever. I think you either sign a starter, trade for a reliever, sign a reliever, trade for a starter. Seems like the second option's more likely just because I think Amai's the only starter the Yankees are really interested in on the free agent market. Doesn't feel like there's anybody else who has serious real buzz. I know Michael King is out there, but qualifying offer makes you question, would you give up draft picks for Michael King? Is that like the guy you do it for? Because think about it. The Yankees aren't linked to guys that QO's attached to them. Is that the guy you give it up for? If you're giving up prospect capital anyways, might as well go trade for a guy. That would be my mentality. Like, if I'm going to give up prospect capital, I might as well go get Mackenzie Gore. Might as well try and get Freddie Peralta and do that instead of giving up a second and a fourth round pick and then also – or second and fifth round pick and then also giving up money. So Keller – sorry, I really haven't talked a lot about Keller here. Keller can attack the zone with fastballs. Quality and contact, quality of contact, quantity of contact, both really good at suppressing both. And Alex, the big key for me here is kind of a guy that, like, you give him the ball in the eighth inning to go to David Bednar, and you're rock solid. Your bullpen's awesome. Maybe you want to add another depth piece, but that gives you a foundation with Cruz, Duvall, Keller, Bednar, awesome. Keller has five pitches, changeup, sweeper, slider, sinker, four-seamer. Uses it all at least 12% of the time. He's a finesse. He came up as a finesse pitcher and now throws 97. So he's a finesse pitcher, throws 97. That's really awesome. And you've seen that translate into the results. And Alex, I want to round this out talking about your boy, Brendan Donovan. The Yankees' interest in Brendan Donovan seems to be pretty legit. I'm not sure if it's as a backup plan for Bellinger, as a let's go get him and trade Jazz, as a let's go get him and get rid of McMahon. Alex, I want to start by asking you, what would your preferred plan be if the Yankees were to acquire Donovan? To either A, have him as a backup to Bellinger, B, have him replace Jazz Chisholm at second base, or C, have him replace Ryan McMahon, knowing that you would have to move McMahon and try and find a deal that works there?
So, I actually, like, I don't think you're going to move McMahon right after getting him. I think the Yankees like McMahon. I think that the Yankees feel like, okay, this is a gold glove hot corner piece. We have a lot of ground ball pitchers, and if you get Mackenzie Gore, tack on another one. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about a guy who's going to soak up every single ball that goes his way at their base, right? And it's a big pause. I get it. But, like, this is what it is. You know, I think that, you know, you look at what his bat could become. And Ryan, what is – let me ask you, because I know exactly what I'm thinking. What is Ryan McMahon's biggest problem offensively? I know it's the whiffs and the strikeouts, but what's the one thing that if he did this a lot better, he would be a really solid piece in the – probably bottom half of the lineup.
So if it's – we're excluding contact –
It's a form of contact. Like it's a specific stat that you would reference that really helps in Yankee Stadium specifically.
Pull air percentage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the ability to pull the ball. He doesn't pull the ball well to right field, and I think that's like he tends to spray the ball to the middle parts of the field, even left center. If he was able to pull the ball to right field, he could hit 25 plus home runs next season. And, like, he could be an average hitter. If you have an average hitter with an elite glove at third base, batting eighth in the lineup, I'm freaking happy with that, Ryan. I'm really happy with that. Now, the problem is he strikes out a freaking ton. So, like, Cashman told you straight to your face, we need to get the strikeouts down in the bottom half of the lineup. Volpe's not helping you there, and neither is Austin Wells. Maybe he does. Maybe he gets better. But you're really having a hard time at the bottom of the lineup trying to figure out, you know, the strikeout problem. Brendan Donovan solves that for you in a big way. He's not going to bat in the bottom three. He's probably leading off, but that pushes somebody else down to kind of make up the difference, at the bottom half. Is Brendan Donovan my backup to Cody Bellinger? I think he can be, and I think that part of the reason why the Yankees are exploring that is because, one, they need to have a backup in place, but they're also probably trying to put pressure on Scott Boras to say, we're going to replace him. Like, we have options. Like, you know, the Yankees are doing their due diligence. But Brendan Donovan offers so much more than just a backup to Cody Bellinger. He offers a backup to Jazz Chisholm. Chisholm misses time every season. You know, he can play second base on a whim. What if the Yankees don't extend Jazz Chisholm? Brendan Donovan's playing second base in 2027 if there's a season. You know, and then you look at the fact that he can play shortstop in a pinch. He can play, you know, right field. You could stick him at third if you really wanted to. Like, he could play pretty much anywhere you want him to at an average level and above average at second. So I do think that when you look at Brendan Donovan, he is the ultimate utility man, not just because of his defensive alignments, but because he is a phenomenal bat. And guys, people look, why is he only at 50 RBIs? Why is his home run so low? Ryan, please give me the details about why Brendan Donovan only had 50 RBIs last season and what his home runs would look like if he was playing in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, primary leadoff hitter, so RBI opportunities are just not there. Played for the Cardinals, so not to be particularly rude, the offense that they have is not good. Their on-base percentage is .314, which was the 18th best mark in the league, so not really good. 96 WRC plus, so yeah, you're not going to have a lot of run-scoring opportunities. Also, leadoff spot, again, just not naturally where you hit in the lineup is going to affect that. He would have had more home runs at Yankee Stadium. I believe he would have hit 11 more if he played all of his home games.
11?
Home games, not that BS of like, oh, he played all of his games. No, all of his home games at Yankee Stadium. He would have hit 11 more home runs in 2025 and 2024. So it's about 5.5 home runs you add extra. Obviously, you can't add half a home run, but that's where you expect the power to increase. And when we talk about Donovan again, like, either A, the Yankees being thrown in as leverage here, or B, as you mentioned, they have this plan in place for Donovan to play. And I want to also float this, guys. With Brendan Donovan and the Yankees, the teams that are rumored to be in, Royals, Astros, Guardians, do any of them have the major and minor league pitching at the upper levels the Yankees do? Because they don't. They don't. They do not. The Astros aren't trading Hunter Brown. The Royals aren't trading Cole Reagans for Brendan Donovan. The Guardians, like, they have some arms, but they also have a terrible rotation. Like, the Yankees can trade out of their depth and sign somebody. The Yankees can trade out of their depth and go out and get a Tatsuya Mai. Royals can't do that. Guardians can't do that. Maybe the Astros can do that, but nobody else can do that. So you are more flexible in your ability to trade pitching. So I think it's both an advantage for Brendan Donovan at the stadium. I think the Yankees, if they're really in, have a leg up in terms of assets in these kind of talks.
Can I ask you a question? In your perspective, who has more value right now? I'm genuinely curious. Will Warren or Elmer Rodriguez?
I would bet on Warren, depending on the team, though. Again, it's like, for like that Guardians, let's say, they're in contention. I'd imagine Warren has more value. For a team like the Nationals, maybe? Cruz has more value? I don't really know. I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting because, like, you know, you look at the Yankees have a surplus, right? Even Luis Gil is not untouchable by any means. I definitely think Luis Gil could be floated in these trades as well. In fact, I think they probably are pushing him. They're probably regretting not trading for Kyle Tucker last year when the Astros wanted him. But, you know, I'll say this. The Yankees got, like you said, tons of prospects. People crapped on the Yankees farm system last year after the Soto trade. Oh, they don't have this. People are calling us up left and right. I mean, look at Cam Schlittler. Just bet on the Yankees farm system to develop. We traded how many catchers? Augustin Ramirez ended up being a great offensive player. Horrible defensive player, but a great offensive player. Carlos Narvaez, whoa. Like, what did that come from? You know what I mean? Like, you look at how many guys they've moved that have become successful. And the pitchers are a little bit hit or miss, you know, for teams that have acquired them. Like, you know, you look at the Drew Thorpes of the world. But, you know, you look at Cam Schlittler, you never know. You might hit a gem. And the Yankees, I mean, he was throwing 92 3 years ago. Now he's hitting triple digits. So it's like they're capable. Elmer Rodriguez has a deep bag of pitches in his mix. And, you know, I do think when you look at other arms in this farm system, you look at the position players, like Spencer Jones has value, guys. Like, I know he's 24, but Spencer Jones is the epitome of boomer bust. He could be one of the best hitters and sluggers in the game and play really solid defense and a good base runner, or he could be Joey Gallo in 4 years. You know what I mean? Like, but some team is going to be like, that's a hell of a lot of value. Jason Dominguez has a lot of value. 22-year-old switch hitter that maybe is a better defender in a different alignment. Maybe the Yankees just don't have right field open. Otherwise, that's where he'd be stuck. You know what I mean? That's where he'd be playing. So it's like a team that has a weak outfielder, a weak position that, like, is not hard to defend, they can get a really solid player in Dominguez. The Yankees have trade bait. They do. Tons of it. It's just a matter of where they want to apply it. And Donovan, 2 years of control. Gore, 2 years of control. McGill, they're going to get one of these guys. It's just a matter of, do they want to spend for Bellinger and they want to go back up? I don't even think I would get Cody Bellinger, and I would add Brendan Donovan. That's what a team looking to win looks like, by the way. They spend the money on Bellinger and say, yeah, we're a multi-billion dollar organization. We have prospects out the wazoo. Brendan Donovan can be our super, super uber utility man. And I'm probably in that instance, I mean, I love Oswaldo Cabrera to death, but I'm burying the hell out of him if you're getting Brendan Donovan. Like, I'm sorry. It just is what it is. You know, what do you feel about that? Like, do you think, in the instance that Brendan Donovan was to be acquired, do you even think he leads off, or do you think the Yankees just keep sticking Trent Grisham there?
I think he could lead off. That being, I think Donovan leading off would make sense. Though I do think the Yankees like having power at the top of their lineup, so I'm not sure. I think Rice is an interesting leadoff player in all this conversation as well, so we'll kind of see. But what I will say with the Yankees is I'm not getting the sense that this is a team that is awfully concerned with their position player group, and I know that's not going to be the thing you want to hear, considering that, like, that kind of makes it, like, Donovan is not as big of a priority as, like, maybe a pitching pursuit. But Yankees think that their run prevention needs work. I mean, they want to balance out the lineup too, which is part of, like, where Donovan is also in contradiction with what Cashman has publicly said. I feel like he would have to, like, the way I look at Donovan is he'd have to replace a left-handed hitter. McMahon would make sense. Jazz would make less sense, but I guess in theory would make sense as, like, a left-on-left replacement. I wouldn't do that, but whatever. Bellinger hits lefties well, so kind of weird for him to also be someone who would be replaced by a lefty. So that's where I think it gets weird. Like, Donovan, it gets weird that the Yankees are really in on this because it means that there is a, you know, it means that there is a, like, okay, like, is this, like, a, is this, again, is this a leverage thing, or is this, like, a sign of a big trade that's going to go down for the Yankees where they really shuffle up the roster, where they move on from a McMahon? Where, as you noted, like, yeah, the Yankees like McMahon, but that's used for them to get cheaper at third base and open up some payroll to do something else. I don't really know. I don't know. Then the other note I want to mention with all this and, like, Bellinger and why I say, like, I think run prevention is a bigger priority for them. Look at their net, the net they've cast in terms of interest. Not really heavy on the any position players. They're not really that in on Marte. There's no, like, public reporting that they're in on Marte. There's no public reporting that they're desperately in on Kyle Tucker. There's no public reporting that they're willing to go, that they're willing to be desperate for Cody Bellinger. I think the Yankees are more willing to do something, I'm not saying stupid, but reckless for a pitcher than they will be for a position player. And kind of like at the deadline, Alex, where we all kind of, like, look at the roster and we go, more bats, Eugenio Suarez, go get this guy, go get that guy. We all kind of peel the layers back, we get close to the deadline in the day, and we go, they need arms. Like, you look at the Yankee roster, and I know projections aren't everything. Projections are not everything, and we should you know, be willing to look at players and teams beyond just projections and beyond just wins above replacement. But the Yankees are projected to have the best position player group in baseball in Fangraphs. Now, it's only 0.2 WAR ahead of the Dodgers. It's 1.1 WAR ahead of the Mets, but it's 2.2 WAR ahead of the Blue Jays. So it's not a big gap, but it is a gap. It's not a big gap, but it's a gap. Pitching-wise, the Yankees do not rank very well here. They're outside of the top 10 in projected pitching war. I think they're 12th or 13th. You have 15.7% projected pitching war. Red Sox have 20.9. They've got, there's a big gap there. Blue Jays are at 18.9. There's a big gap there. The gap between the Yankees pitching staff is greater than the gap between the Yankees and the Blue Jay offense or position player group. So that's why I don't think they're going to be willing to do something stupid for a position player the way they would be maybe for a pitcher, because I don't think that their internal models are going to go to and look at their pitching staff and go, this is great. It's exactly what they want. Brian Cashman talking about vulnerability at the top of the rotation, not the middle, not the depth chart, not for a little bit. Vulnerability at the top of the rotation. And then with the bullpen, look, I know Jack Curry kind of mentioned more on the back burner. I kind of read that as they're not going to go pay Edwin Diaz, which I wouldn't either. The Yankees are not going to ignore their bullpen, right? We know that. So I think they want to make sure they're really good at run prevention next year, because I think they actually like their offense a lot, whether Yankee fans agree or not. And you don't have to agree with this. I actually don't know how much I agree with them on this, but you don't have to agree on them with this. But I do think we have to at least acknowledge that is their vision. I think the Yankees like Grisham. I think the Yankees look at, like, a Bellinger return and go, hey, we're basically the same offense as we were last year, but we bring some bench pieces, and, man, we're good. We're really freaking good, man. So, Alex, I kind of want to get your take, like, if that is kind of the internal perception, which is the feeling I get, which is, like, they trust their position player group, and they want bullpen help, rotation help, but they believe in their position player group. How would you feel about that vision? Like, do you agree with it? Do you disagree with it? What if you were the GM of the Yankees, what would your vision be of this roster and what they need?
My overarching vision of what the Yankees need, they need more players that come up in big moments. That's really the end of the discussion, right? Aaron Judge was it. Like, Trent Grisham was an anomaly last season. He disappeared in the playoffs. Disappeared, right? Anthony Volpe somehow, like, has good postseason, so I'll give him credit for that. Ryan McMahon had a good postseason. Like, but the whole team has to be capable. Giancarlo Stanton, after one of the most unbelievable postseason performances we've ever seen, disappeared this past postseason. The whole team is not connecting at the right time. right? Like, it always feels like there's weak links. It's okay to lose a game in the playoffs. It's going to happen. Like, it's okay to lose a game. But they don't fight. They don't fight. And it's not scrappy. It's not confident. It's not motivated. Like, they just fall apart in critical moments. To me, this isn't about talent. The Yankees have talent. I mean, you look at the roster. There's stars all across it. And there's budding superstars across it, right? They're going to add some talent this offseason, no doubt about it. But this is going to take us in a whole different direction. I think this is worthwhile talking about in an entirely different episode. I actually think this is more about their manager than in their coaching than it is about the players themselves at times, because they don't look like they have urgency. You know what I mean? Like, and you talked about that, Ryan. That was actually a word you used a lot in the podcast during the playoffs. Where's the urgency? You know, where's the we have to win? There is no excuses. We are battling. Every at-bat is life or death. I truly just don't believe the Yankees have enough urgency in critical moments. They need guys that can hit in high-leverage situations that don't strike out all the time. Brendan Donovan, like I said, he's a leader, great locker room guy, but he's also, 13% strikeout rate? He's going to make contact in a big moment. He's going to run the bases decently. Like, you need players like that. You need guys like that. The Yankees just don't have enough. Ryan McMahon is most likely striking out in a big moment. Anthony Volpe is most likely striking out in a big moment. Stanton, most likely striking out in a big moment. Even Jazz has a relatively decently high strikeout rate. Like, Grisham, like, who knows what version of Grisham we're getting next year? The Yankees need guys who are going to come up in big moments that don't have enough of them to rally. They don't have enough rally guys. They don't have enough urgency guys. And, you know, I think Boone's a big proponent of that, but there's also a player perspective as well. That's why I do think Donovan is such a good fit on multiple levels. What do you think about that? Like, you talked about, like, the overarching, like, what do the Yankees need? They need to show up in the freaking playoffs, man. They have the players to win. They just don't. That's the reality. They just flop. They just deteriorate in big moments. And I don't think that's a talent issue. I think that's an effort issue sometimes.
So, I mean, there are a couple of layers to kind of like the Yankees and clubhouse dynamics and whatever it may be. I think Judge being the captain kind of makes a lot of your like clubhouse life easier. And I think that's always, and having Judge be a Yankee for as long as he's been a Yankee also helps with that. This is a group that's very new. And I don't know if a lot of people realize that, like, especially on the position player side. Look at the 2022 Yankees. That team had Judge and Stanton as the only guys who are still on the Yankees today. If you look at the postseason in 2024, even in 2025, the 2025 Yankees, Bellinger, Grisham, Goldschmidt, McMahon, all of these guys were first-year playoff Yankees, first time playing in the postseason as a member of the New York Yankee organization. I know Grisham was on the roster last year, but he didn't really play. I might be forgetting somebody who also played. Caballero, Rosario were first-year Yankees, so they were first-year playoff Yankees. Point is, there's a lot of new. And it's not to say that continuity is always a good thing. It is to say that continuity might help this group a little bit. It might help this group gel a little bit better. It might help this group kind of find their identity a little bit more, something they kind of lost mid-season and then regained but got stopped by the Blue Jays in the process of things. Is it a situation where the Yankees end up running it back and then they end up losing the playoffs and we find out that was a mistake? Yeah, that's definitely possible. Is it also possible that the Yankees, they run it back with a team that, or an offense that was the best in baseball and they produce a similar result and they end up hitting in the postseason? They feel a lot of these guys get more comfortable doing it and they end up having a good postseason run. Also possible. I think that there's a lot of, the sense I get a lot on social media and kind of in Yankee world, that this is understandable because of how long it's been, 16 years, and a lot of those have been playoff exits. Not like they've missed a postseason. It's they've gotten there and haven't done it. Now, the Phillies just signed Kyle Schwarber. Sorry. Phillies just signed Kyle Schwarber. 5-year, $150 million contract.
Whoa. I literally just wrote about him for the Mets this morning. I predicted 5 years, 145. That was almost spot on.
Yeah, so big contract. Getting back to my point here, I just don't believe, Alex, that it's – I don't think we can know what's good or bad for this clubhouse until – like, I don't know what's exactly good or bad for the clubhouse. It's possible that Donovan is good for the clubhouse. It's also possible that, again, it's like, hey, the Yankees should just – you know, the Yankees need to just keep the guys that they felt were very good and hope that they perform better next year. Hope that a Ben Rice steps up even more than he did this past year. Someone like an Austin Wells. Like, Austin Wells has always been described in the organization as, like, leadership quality. Wells being a better player would help him be a better leader, right? Because it's hard to lead when you're not playing well. I always believe it's hard to lead when you're not playing well. It's hard to lead when you're not one of the best players on the team. It's hard to lead when you're not starting. Wells lost his starting job for a little bit. So I do wonder how these personalities and people, Ahmed Rosario bringing him back, I would bring him back not just because of the play, but for the personality as well. I think the personality off the bench is good. Cabrera was a vibes guy. Caballero's a vibes guy. Like, I think these dudes are good for the organization, and I think they're good for these players. They have a good Latin influence on their bench. They have a good Latin influence in their lineup. I think that's going to be important as you potentially import more Hispanic players. If you were to bring in Tatsuya Imai, I know you don't have any other foreign-born players from Asia on your roster, but you would have a player who I think is very competitive as well. Again, so, you know, and Gore seems like a competitive guy. I mean, I don't really know. I don't know the guy. Point is, in all of this, I wonder if continuity helps the Yankees. I wonder if continuity helps them get better. I wonder if continuity helps them get over kind of what you mentioned, this hump here. This is not the same team that lost to the Astros. This is not the same team that lost to the Dodgers even. This is not the same team that lost to the Red Sox, to the Rays. Like, this is a very different team. It's a very new team. So I think it's a different core from the Baby Bombers. I think the only things that have been holdovers are Boone and Judge. Now, if the Yankees were to lose this year, Alex, and were to lose in the ALDS, and they were expected to be very good or were very good in the regular season and failed on those expectations, yes, I would consider firing longtime manager Aaron Boone. Because at that point, then yes, you have to start looking at constants and just removing constants that don't impact your play, just because you kind of have to at that point. So I think this could be like a final, like, hot seat maybe year for Boone, depending on the result. But we'll see what that happens. Alex, any final results? Any final talking points you've got on the Yankees and kind of the trade market and where they're at here?
Yeah, I mean, we covered a lot. I think Schwarber was a big chip just to go. So I'm expecting some movement now in free agency, because now the Mets are like, okay, now Schwarber's gone. Like, we got it. I guess it's Pete Alonso. Like, Yankees are obviously sitting there like, okay, like, big chip off board. Well, now what? You know, so everyone kind of waits and sees what happens next. But listen, the Yankees need more glue guys. They need more, I'm going to come up in a big moment, guys in the playoffs. I think Donovan, yeah, he's a Cardinal, like, not in the playoffs very often, but he just hits and he just leads. And, like, you need guys like that. I think you need locker room dudes. And the Yankees, they have some really good young players. And I was really inspired to see Ben Rice stepping up and, like, you know, voicing his concerns. Like, we need to do more, like, speaking out. That's really encouraging from a young leader. We love Ben Rice on this podcast. This is the Ben Rice podcast. But they need more vets like that. They need more guys that have been around the block. And I do love Donovan for that reason. Mackenzie Gore, you know, like I said, don't know much about him, but he's a damn good player.
Diaz just went to the Dodgers. Edwin Diaz just signed with the Dodgers.
Oh, we're so close.
Oh, my God. Edwin Diaz just signed with the Dodgers. Oh, well, my goodness.
I guess we can.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Should we just call it? The next World Series is theirs again. They're going to have a three-peat it.
Holy shit, dude.
So what do the Yankees do now? Like, Yankees are probably sitting there like, we have to move.
Well,
we have to do things.
Kind of the beautiful thing here for is that no one's gone that is like a Yankee guy. Like a Yankee guy.
Right.
You know, we consider the Yankee guys to be like, we consider them to be like Bellinger. I think Tucker, can we agree that Tucker's gone from that list?
Yeah, I don't think he's.
I would say like Gore, Imai, any pitchers that go at this point in the trade market are like, fuck, like, damn, that's not a Yankee, damn it. Yeah, like, that puts more pressure on you. So, dude, this is going to be a fun.
That's bad. What's
gear
the deal?
Up, baby. Gear up, baby. This is going to be fun. Sorry, Alex, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's just like, holy shit, Edwin Diaz.
No, I literally was like, Schwarber signed, like, now what? And then 30 seconds later, Edwin Diaz signs.
Yeah.
Finally, winter meetings providing some action. Do you know what the deal is?
What's the deal?
What is it?
For Diaz, we don't have a deal yet. We do not have a deal yet for Diaz.
I'm gonna assume it's like 500, maybe.
Probably, we'll see. But dude, what a big! This is monumental.
Yeah, that's massive.
Not saying that you don't sign Devin Williams because of Edwin Diaz. Like, I think Devin's actually a really good signing for the Mets. But
yeah, that's a downgrade though.
That is a downgrade.
But it's half the price. So
right,
that's
right.
That's
I mean, it depends on what you do after that. Like, would you rather have like Devin Williams at $50 million, Edwin Diaz at $100 million, and not get another important piece on your roster.
I don't know. Calculated.
But this is, dude, things are moving. Things are moving.
Yep. Well, you better get this podcast out then, dude, before we miss all the good stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, well, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Hopefully the Yankees don't do something in between us finishing this and me editing this. I'm going to get this out as quickly as possible. Like, subscribe, turn on the notification bell. Love you guys so much. Appreciate you. Let's go, Yanks. Peace out, everybody.